I don't like getting cavities. I never had braces. I hate Novocaine. So you can imagine my surprise when I was at the dentist for my checkup in February, and he told me that I had a cracked tooth. I'm too young for that, was my first thought. My next thought was fear, because I knew I would have to have the dreaded Novocaine. I wondered how this could have happened. Then my dentist told me that this can happen sometimes when people grind or clench their teeth. Well, when I'm stressed out, that's what I tend to do. I clench my jaw and grind my teeth. I hunch my shoulders up and tense my body. These are the kind of things you learn about yourself when you're in seminary and you get way too into studying how you react to stress. When I feel that I get out of control, or things get out of control in my life, or when I start to worry too much, I tend to hold everything in and internalize my stress. I don't let my worries and my stress go. This week, I finally saw the movie Frozen. If you could put the slide up, please. Many of you have probably seen this movie or heard about it. It's about two sisters who are princesses and the adventures they have. And there's a famous song in the movie called Let It Go. And many of you have probably even heard it. It's been on the radio, even if you haven't seen the movie. Well, I've kind of made this Let It Go theme my mantra, my motto for Lent, because I know that I need to let things go more and not clench them in so much. The person who sings the song in the movie, Princess or Queen Elsa, sings the song because she has a special power to make things cold, and it can damage people. She's been taught to keep this power in her whole life, but then she finally runs away to be alone, and she's able to let her powers go and to let go of the fear that she had about them. Fear does crazy things to us. I've heard fear described as being locked in a cell with no light and no contact with anybody, cut off from the world. Fear causes us to only turn in on ourselves, to only think of ourselves, which is Martin Luther's definition of sin. Being turned in on ourselves. I'm sure that fear isn't a stranger for any one of us individually, and it's not anything strange for us as a church either. Anytime we take risks, fear is a part of that. As I've told you in sermons before, my mom always says to me, nothing that's worth doing is easy. And I would add that nothing that's worth doing is done without a little bit of fear. Deciding on a career is a scary thing. Changing a career is a scary thing. Proposing to somebody you love is even kind of scary. Becoming a parent is definitely scary, is that right? Deciding to retire, I'm sure, is scary. Giving sacrificially, as we've been talking about during our Grow in Grace campaign, is scary. What if something happens? What will we do? Luckily, we have a Lord who knows our fears, but who loves us in our fears and calls us to move through fear to find something even better on the other side of it. The gospel story I read today is also in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. In Matthew, the man who comes to Jesus, we are told he is also a young man. And in Luke, we hear that he's a ruler. But in all three Gospels, we're told that he's wealthy. We can see that he's also a devout man. He's eager, and he's sad. Because we're given the impression that this man clings more closely to his money than he does to Jesus. Those can be hard words for us to hear, the words that Jesus speaks to him, because I suspect that most of us would do the same. How many of us have sold all that we have and gone and followed Jesus and given the money to the poor? The only person I know who has done that is our missionary Meg Boren, who sold her house and moved down to Nicaragua to care for the people there in the name of Jesus. I think it's pretty amazing that I know even one person who has done that. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, there's nothing new under the sun. And that's true when we hear this story from Luke today. It is a very hard thing for us to let go of our money, our homes, and our comfort for the sake of Jesus. But before you're about to throw up your hands in exasperation, think about the end of this story. The disciples have already asked your question. Then who can be saved? Jesus has already answered it. What is impossible for humans is possible for God. God saves us because we can't save ourselves, as Aim Ruth just said in the children's message. When you think you have no hope, remember that there's always hope through Jesus. Jesus says, truly I tell you, there is no one who's left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Our sacrifices are multiplied by God. When we give ourselves to following Jesus, we receive so much more than we give, now and in the future. I hope that you'll experience that through your giving to our Grow in Grace campaign. I hope that in the days and years to come that you'll see and hear about the ways that this program has changed people's lives for God. And I really hope that your life will be one of those that is changed. As I was writing my sermon, one of my all-time favorite songs came on my iPod. It's called Shake It Off by Florence and the Machines. Florence sings, shake it off, shake it off. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. And this song made me wonder, what are the devils on our backs? What is it that clings to us and keeps us down? What is it that is hard for us to let go? Maybe this capital campaign has been a struggle for you for any number of reasons. Here is your invitation to shake it off and let it go. Jesus sent his disciples out to spread his word and instructed them to shake the dust off their feet if they weren't welcome. This isn't something that we practice enough. I pray that we can give our burdens, our devils, our dust over to Jesus. And prayer is always the first step of any kind of letting go. Over the past several weeks, we've talked a lot about joyful sacrifice. Joyfully, happily giving up something you love for something that you love even more. I've heard of people who are letting go of their cable, letting go of new carpeting, massages, theater and sport subscriptions, vacations, letting go of some of their stuff, selling it and giving the money to our Grow in Grace campaign. People who are letting go eating out, people who are giving up things that are meaningful to them. And I'm sure there are many more stories that I haven't heard. If you were in worship last week, you heard that we already have over $630,000 in pledges from about 10% of our households. But those numbers don't include a couple of things. One, last Sunday we heard that our kids and our youth have donated over $600 themselves, some of them through their piggy banks, that they collected their money towards our Grow in Grace campaign. And as I was building that little wall, I came across another quarter. So we put that in our basket as a thankful sacrifice. And then there's one more story that you don't know, and that's of a generous gift that was given a couple years ago, our very first gift towards our Grow in Grace campaign. We had a funeral here for a man named Gordy Olson, if you knew Gordy, and his nephew grew up at Grace. And he was standing in the hall over by the offices looking at the confirmation pictures hanging on the wall, and Aim Ruth walked by, and he started talking to her and said, wow, you know, this place has really changed, it's really grown since I was here. And Ruth talked to him a little bit about, you know, what we've done, and she said, actually, we're looking ahead to doing a building program. And he said, oh, that's great. And he opened up his wallet, and he gave her all of the money he had in his wallet, which was $8. And AIM Ruth has kept this in her desk for the last couple years as our seed money for our capital campaign. And we give thanks to God for people like this man who gave out all he had to our program out of thanks for what he has learned at Grace, and he's not even around anymore. But he wanted to support us in our building program. As we come forward to lay our offerings before God, you're invited to bring your pledges and also your regular offerings today, to come and put them in the basket. And then Pastor Paul and I will be standing on either side as you come, and you'll be able to take a candle and light a candle from us and then put it in the candle holders that are around the edges. Some of them are votive holders. Others are for just regular taper candles. So whatever you get, there should be plenty of candle holders there for you. So as you come up, bring your offerings, lay them before God, and then light a candle in remembrance that we are called in our baptisms to be the light of the world. And through this building program, I pray that we would let our light shine before others in our community so that they could know God and see his works and give glory to him. So let us join in prayer as we bring our offerings forward. Dear God, we bring our pledges and offerings to your altar, praying that they will be given with joy and sacrifice for your mission here at Grace. We pray that through these pledges we'd be brought closer to your work, and that others would be led to hear of your power and love. Help us to let go of whatever fear we carry here. Keep our eyes fixed on you, always remembering that nothing is impossible for you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.